Welcome to Kingdom School, Identity Church. We have Kevin Mancuso this morning. He's our worship leader here at Identity Church. And we've asked him for a couple weeks to share what God's put on his heart. Asked him to kingdomize it, show us how to walk it out, and expand the kingdom. Mr. Mancuso.
All right. So the title would be, Walking in Forgiveness is the Key to Knowing Your Identity. So faith without works is dead, so is language without movement. Your words have no life without movement behind it. The big thing that's going on in the body today is we're adopting languages, but we have no movement behind the language. The father language is going on like crazy. The sonship message is going on like crazy. Yet there's no movement to back it up, because there's a big difference between fathering and mentoring. If you look in the scripture, it says a father raises a child in the way that he should go. Well, a mentor raises a child in the way that he wants him to go. There's a difference. Whereas the father realizes the path for his son and helps him find his destiny, move in his destiny. Whereas a mentor wants to move him in his own destiny simply because it's all about him. He wants to be succeeded. If you look at the difference between Elijah and Elisha, there's a huge, huge difference in how they moved. One was all about himself and one was all about fathering and the spirit of the prophet living on from generation to generation. So, I said all that
to say this.
So here's the thing. Here's the thing about walking in forgiveness. It works the same way with forgiveness is the movement to love. And love is the movement to identity. And if we look at 1 Corinthians chapter 13, starting with verse 4, every description I'll find it. Yeah. Every description of love is a movement. It's an action. And we have to put that into perspective to where just like faith without works is dead, so is knowing language but not moving in it. And if we don't know the culture, and if we're not moving in the culture behind the language, then the language really means nothing. It's just words. And so when we see that love is kind, it's not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It's not irritable or resentful. I find that... That's one of my main struggles sometimes, especially if you do what I did and take Christiana and my daughter to Walt Disney all day. I became very irritable.
Was this yesterday?
No, this was last. I've had a week to heal.
That's
this is a couple weeks ago. I think like 3 weeks ago.
But week after the hurricane.
Yeah. Yes, it was.
Takes a week to heal.
Yeah, I've had a good 3 weeks, and but you know, I had to check myself because I was becoming very irritable at these two young ladies that were constantly complaining at something, and here we are at Walt Disney, and I was paying for most everything, and I'm thinking if anyone's got a right to complain, it would be this guy. And but the Lord checked me, and he's like, so how's your forgiveness going? And I've caught this revelation to where when you truly walk into forgiveness, you don't have to be asked. for someone to forgive you. You forgive them automatically simply because you don't need to recognize what they did was wrong. If you see what they did was wrong to you and you're walking in forgiveness, you forgive them. That should be our normal response in everything we do. And here's the thing. If I'm walking in forgiveness, then I'm not getting offended. I'm not getting tweaked. I'm not getting irritable. I'm not getting resentful. I'm not rejoicing at anything bad. You know, sometimes, you know, with all this junk going on and people are saying, oh, well, this people deserve this because they support this. And that's the opposite of love. And the opposite of love is condemnation. When we're not walking in forgiveness, we're not walking in love, we're actually walking in condemnation. We're working in the spirit of accusation. Now, who is the accuser of the brethren? The devil. So when you are accusing your brethren, you're in direct relationship with the devil. Wow, that makes a powerful statement. When you accuse your brother of anything prior or opposite of what God says that person is, when you accuse your brother of anything on a negative source, you have now come into alignment with the devil. Which speaks volumes to me. It made me really check myself and just how I deal with people at work and how I deal with you know, people every day, you know, at church and whatnot. It's really changed my perspective and how I deal with things and learning to walk in forgiveness. I would say maybe about a year ago, I received some strict discipline, I would say, from the leadership of this house. And I have to tell you, at first, my attitude was the victim. And because a lot of it I felt was accusational. But here's the thing. At no time when Jesus was accused did he play the victim. He walked in forgiveness. His direct response in everything that was thrown at him was forgiveness. Woman, where are your accusers? Go and sin no more. And I find that response, you know, a lot of people might disagree with this, but I don't believe Jesus is going to tell us to do anything that's impossible. That's right. And if he tells the woman to go and sin no more, that tells me that it's very possible that we can live a sinless life here.
Let me ask you a question.
In this realm. Go for it.
Jesus is our example.
Yes, he is.
Okay. At what age was Jesus able to do that? How old was he?
Well, that's right when he started his ministry.
So he was 33 years old.
Right.
I think sometimes we look at Jesus as our example, and we should. But we're looking at him already into a place that he had already passed the test of submission to authority, dealing with his siblings, dealing with the religious leaders as a 12-year-old or an 18-year-old. In other words, I think we look at him at his finished product, and my question is, would he have been able to do that at 20? Would he have been able to do that at 15?
Well, I believe he would have. And I believe he was, you know, at what? At 10 years old? He was astonishing. 12, at 12 years old, he was astonishing the priest at his knowledge of God.
But he was in favor with God.
He had to grow
in it. He
had to grow. It's a journey.
Yes, absolutely. But I believe that he had that faith. It was all about season, and he knew his season. So I think at any point in time, he was ready. I believe that at any point in time, he was ready. And had God wanted him to go into the ministry at 20, then he would have went into the desert at 20. I think it's all about he walked in a season of readiness. And that's why he was able to cast out and cast away that spirit that had really taken control of that person. He said only by prayer and fasting. He walked the lifestyle. He was consistently ready for everything that came at him. And honestly, I really think not at any point in time did he walk in unforgiveness. And
no, I didn't say
unforgiveness. The only difference between him and us is he figured out long before we figured out who he is. And so that he just recognized it at 12. Most of us have recognized it when we're 40s, 50s. Some still haven't recognized it in the world today, who Christ is and who they are in Christ. And the really key thing to actually knowing who you are is walking in forgiveness. You'll never, ever figure out who you are until you learn to walk in forgiveness, until you learn to receive forgiveness, until you see that you're actually worthy of forgiveness, that you're actually worthy of love. You know, we're supposed to be the happiest people on the earth. Joy is a movement of forgiveness. How do you say that? Okay, well, Romans. Let's look at Romans, I think.
It's in there.
Yeah, it's in Romans 4:7. I'm reading from the Amplified because
it speaks louder.
Yeah, it speaks louder, and it says some words that we've had some choice discussions about, and I just found it amazing that the Amplified said this. It says, "Blessed, happy, and favored are those whose lawless acts have been forgiven, and those sins who have been covered up and completely buried. Blessed and happy." That's joy. So joy should be a fruit of us knowing that we're forgiven. Okay? So if joy is, and I heard this statement, and it kind of just spoke volumes to me. Whatever fruit is apparent in your life is a direct result of whatever spirit that you're in communion with. So if the fruits of joy, love, forgiveness, if those fruits are not apparent in your life, then what are you in communion with? If you're dealing with negativity, if you're dealing with, you know, love is a positive thing. I didn't finish, but it's always humble. You know, when it says love never ends, as for prophecies, they will pass away. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will pass away. But for we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when the perfect comes, the partial will pass away. You know, love never fades. True love never, and a result of knowing you're loved is knowing you're forgiven. And, you know, that's, I heard this song the other day, and it's called No. And it's just basically the guy coming to the revelation that he's fully known and still received by God. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we quote the scripture that we're made in his image and likeness all the time, but do we really understand that we are his image and likeness? Knowing who he really is,
Well, I know I'm good looking.
And, you know, and knowing that, you know, I had I had this scripture quoted to me in St. Augustine, and I had been, a lot of you know my testimony, so I've been dealing with a lot of stuff, and I got confronted with it, and So I repented in front of the church, and their direct response was, "Hey, we forgive you, but you need to leave." And I was like, "What, really? Yeah, there's no place in this house for you. We want you to leave your apartment because we're helping pay for that. You need to get out of St. Augustine." But there's no condemnation. And they literally quote the scripture to me, "Therefore, there's no condemnation in them that are in Christ." And I was like, "You got to be kidding me. How can you say there's no condemnation when you're condemning me?" See, condemnation is the opposite of forgiveness. If we're walking in forgiveness, we're not going to judge our brother and sister, because we actually see forgiveness on them. When we receive forgiveness, when we know we're forgiven, we see forgiveness on everyone else. And that's in God knowing that He is forgiveness, that He is love. That's what He sees on everyone else. That's why it's easy for Him to love us, because that's all that He sees is His image and likeness. I wonder what would happen if that's all we saw when we looked at our neighbors, when we looked at people we work with, people that we just come into contact with in a convenience store, at a gas station. If all we saw was God's image and likeness, regardless of what their movement dictated, all we see is that they're forgiven. You're never, ever going to change someone by pointing out what they do wrong. It's just not going to happen. That's judgment. It really is. I know for myself, I don't need you to tell me what I'm doing wrong. I pretty much got a handle on it. It's what we war with. It's what we wake up in the middle of the night. "Oh my gosh, I can't believe I handled it that way." We're all dealing with that, simply because we're not walking in true forgiveness. We don't understand that we've actually already been forgiven. We don't walk in the true reality. And the Greek word for reality means truth. Just like to point that out. And so, let's see where I'm at here. So happy is the man whose sins are forgiven. You know, and where is it? So in Hebrews 8:11, this is one of my most favorite scriptures. When I ran into this, it was or 8 through 12, but. This is God, "Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand and led them forth out of the land of Egypt." Hebrews chapter 8.
Starting with verse 9,
yep. "For this covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord, I will put my laws into their mind, and in their heart also will I write them. And I will be to them a God, and they shall be my people. And they shall not teach every man as his fellow citizen, and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for all shall know me, from the least to the greatest of them, for I will be merciful to their iniquities, and their sins will I remember no more." So if God has forgiven us and has forgotten our sins, why do we remember them? That's a powerful statement.
So if He doesn't remember our sins, and we have no sins, and if our brother brings it up, it's an accuser of the brother. What if your behavior does not line up with that identity? See, the problem, as soon as we say to someone, "Your behavior doesn't line up with who you are, they go, don't accuse me.
That would be like the girls at Disney. You know, you would say, okay, you should be grateful and happy that I brought you here. Well, we are. No, it doesn't.
Your behavior is lying up.
Well, absolutely. I totally get that. But here's the thing. So how should... Listen, it's not like none of that stuff's going to happen. It's our response that matters. So how do you respond to someone who's moving out of the character they were created to move in? Do you point it out?
No, you repicture who they really are.
You give them a grasp that they are forgiven. You give them a grasp that they are loved. You give them that grasp how God truly sees them. Not by me saying, you know, and I didn't say that to them. I bit my tongue simply because it wouldn't have done any good. If I would have pointed out what they were doing wrong, it would have became worse.
So when you bit your tongue, you also did what God would do. You showed them grace and mercy.
I showed them grace and mercy, and I said, come on, guys, let's enjoy ourselves.
But that's what I was going to say.
And then, you know, my daughter's like, oh, you're right, we're at Disney. And then they both, you know...
They had a reality check.
Yeah, they had a reality check. But it didn't happen with... If I would have said, you know what? You little brats. I get out of, on my day off, I get up out of my schedule when I work nights, cut off my sleep to take you guys here and look at you. If I would have pointed out everything they did wrong, it would have became worse. And our great day would have been terrible. And I would have never wanted to do it ever again, simply because my response would have been wrong. And that's the thing. When someone's moving out of character, our response should always be that of the Father's love. And love does not point out one's faults.
I don't know
if I agree with that.
I mean, it's got to be a teaching.
Well, sure.
You know, it's how you, but the next time you go somewhere.
How can you father without pointing out some correction?
Well, correction is not fault.
Yes, it is. If you're not wrong, you don't need to be corrected. How you do it?
Throughout the New Testament, every time the Holy Spirit addressed a church in all the letters of the apostles, and then Jesus himself in the book of Revelation, he pointed out what they were doing wrong.
Yeah,
he said, you're doing some good things. That's great. Keep doing the good things. But here's some things where you're not living.
I have ought against this.
You're not living up to who you are.
Well, I understand that. I mean, I mean,
yeah,
don't.
That's not what you're saying.
Don't misunderstand me as far as what I'm saying. When I'm saying false, I'm saying as.
Well, you classified it as sin, and I agree with that. Jesus took care of the sin problem. So we don't call it sin. We come to someone who we're responsible for, and we father them out of a different behavior.
Yes, okay? Absolutely. What I'm particularly talking about is nitpicking. What I'm talking about is I'm not talking about seeing someone legit. Hey, you're totally moving out of character.
Well, listen,
I'm saying.
I've had kids that if they continued that, they'd find a different side of Mickey Mouse in me.
All right.
After a while, okay. I'm not saying that. The thing is, you could not continually tolerate that behavior.
No, absolutely not.
Okay.
Absolutely not. That's not what I'm saying.
I know if I don't listen to the Holy Spirit, I know I'm getting a butt whooping.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm not saying that there's a difference between punishment and discipline. And the problem is the body of Christ moves in more punishment than it does discipline. And that's where we lie in problem,
right?
Because not only am I going to point out your faults, but I'm going to continue to point out your faults. I'm going to continue to point out your faults to where you see nothing but your faults.
That's not punishment. That's wrong.
That happens. That happens. If you continually tell me what I'm doing wrong without, and he brought up a good point. in Scripture when the church was addressed, if you look at Paul, if you look at Revelation, he always started out what they were doing right, even though what they were doing wrong was way, way off. He always started out with a positive note. Why? Because when you jump into that negative sink, I'm sorry, I'm just a little excited. But when you jump into that negative, he's rubbing my leg.
That was I love you too, baby.
Can I say something?
Good.
Correction can't come out of irritability.
Absolutely.
Okay. Yeah. And
it's got to come out of that place of forgiveness.
That's what you're
it's got to come out of that place of love.
But see,
and that's what I'm talking about when you're speaking positive.
Well, Jesus was rabbi. He was teacher.
Absolutely.
He just didn't correct and run off. He as the Holy Spirit did in the Bible, in Revelations, when he corrected the churches, he said, hey, this is not looking so good, but this is the direction we need to go with.
Absolutely.
So I think when you get irritable, and that's where you found yourself, and thank goodness you stepped out of that.
Absolutely, and I didn't move in that.
It.
Yeah, and didn't.
Okay.
And didn't. Discipline out of
action.
That place. Absolutely.
Okay.
I think if you try to discipline out of that place of being irritable, now you're no longer moving in love.
Right.
And so it's no longer.
I disagree. I agree with that.
Then
so
that's when you say, okay, I'm not taking you guys anywhere anymore because
that becomes
all you do
punishment,
is complain,
not discipline.
Blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, that becomes punishment.
Right.
Now what I've done is I haven't concentrated on anything positive that they did, and there were some positive things.
Kevin, I've made this statement. When your peace is left, you're not right.
Absolutely.
And when your peace is left, you're not in a position to bring correction.
Absolutely.
Right.
So, but if your peace is there and the opportunity,
absolutely,
then you can bring loving correction or exposures. Hey, guys, change your attitude here. Let's, you know, one little shift.
Yeah, that's all it takes.
Fixes everything. But if your peace is gone, you're going to do it with an irritable,
yeah,
cutting, and that's all.
And it's
going
all
back, it's going
it's
back
all,
to the original scripture of,
yeah,
walking in love, the fruit of the Spirit.
Absolutely.
And if you look at Jesus when he did those things, it may have looked like the inopportune time to do it, but he always did it at the right time. Like the woman at the well. He wasn't supposed to even be there.
He went a whole different direction.
He wanted
direction
the time
to get
of
there.
Her, and he had her at the moment where she could hear him. The woman that was caught in adultery, he had her at the time when he could deal with her. Even in Revelation.
You know, we misinterpret that with the woman at the well. I think just because of we deal with it how we would deal with it in our times today, but you have to understand, in that time, he wasn't actually pointing out her faults. He actually wasn't pointing out and saying, because we're taught that he was pointing out what she did wrong and yet he loved her. But that's not what he was doing.
He was pointing out that she had isolated herself.
He was dealing with the fact that she had been rejected by man.
Isolation.
And me being a man, I'm not going to reject you.
Because he was giving her the key to know how to get free.
Well, see, back in that day, it was the man that divorced. Okay, so it was her dealing with rejection from men in general. By rights, she shouldn't even talk to Jesus.
You know, here's a good correlation to what you're trying to teach here. When Rodney mentioned the woman caught in the very act of adultery, Jesus sits there and starts writing something in the sand.
Right.
And when everybody walks away,
then he dealt with it.
He has no one to come into agreement with her sin.
They
all walked away.
So, he said,
so that's exactly what he said. He says, and I condemn you neither.
Right.
But he had to sit there and write some things in the sand to make them all walk away. Why? Because if they would have come into agreement, they'd have stoned her.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So he says, listen, there's an issue here, but I don't agree with the issue.
Absolutely.
And he waited until the right time.
He waited
until
the right time. So there was nobody to agree that she was sinful.
Absolutely.
I'd love to know what he wrote in the sand.
Probably, I love you. I love you. I love you. You know, it speaks
volumes.
The
power of agreement on the negativity is what you're saying is. He goes, listen, I don't agree with either. And he set her free and said, don't do this anymore. I don't condemn you either. Go and sin no more. It was done. It was dealt with.
Absolutely.
And I think what Kevin's saying is. Unforgiveness is agreement. And we're not supposed to have agreement with sin or a lifestyle or bitterness.
With the devil.
And so once you could do that, then if you do need to bring a teaching or you need to bring some correction, it's done in the proper form.
Absolutely.
And it's not punishment. It's a discipline.
Because your fruits will be love and all that positive stuff.
But I mean, you know, it's a fine line because, you know, one of the proofs of sonship in Scripture is discipline. So the only really thing you can find in Scripture to prove that you're a son is you get a whooping once in a while because he loves you. Well, that just goes against our warm, fuzzy feeling of crew. God loves me. He would never discipline me. Really? Because he does love me, I get disciplined.
Yeah, absolutely. But I grew up where discipline was what was really absolute, outright. What's that going on? Someone is quacking.
Affleck.
Okay. I've got 23 minutes, so it shouldn't have went on.
That's till church starts.
Yeah, I know. He said around 15 minute mark, so I got like 10.
Yeah. So, like 9 minutes.
So here's I grew up where it was called discipline, it was called chastening, but it was really just outright punishing because there was no room to correct what we did was wrong. And that's the important part of what you have to be concerned with when you correct. You have to give people a light at the end of the tunnel. You can't just correct them and not tell them how to change and not show them by example of how to change. Okay, we're going to do this situation different. And I think if we come into that place of condemnation, then all people do is see that the fact that they're not forgiven, that they are messed up, that they are walking in shame, and that's how they get full of guilt and full of shame. And that's not, you know, Jesus didn't say that fear doesn't exist. He said perfect love cast it down. There's a difference. We want to say, okay, I'm saved now. I should never ever have to deal with fear. That's not what it says. Okay, I'm saved now. I should never have to deal with unforgiveness. That's not what it says. It still exists. It's our response that dictates what we're aligned with. And that's the point of my message, to where if we are aligned with the Father, if we are aligned with His love, if we know who we are, that we are His sons and daughters, and we know that He identifies us, then we're moving in forgiveness and we're moving in love. And that is the response of our actions. That is our response to everything we do and say. We're not going to get offended with this person and stay away from them because, you know. And here's the thing, guys. Love is not condoning. And a lot of us, I think a lot of us mistreat this statement I'm fixing to say, but loving from a distance does not mean you stay away from them and you're only polite to them when you're around them. That's not loving from a distance. And I'll give you a prime example of how the Lord showed me to love from a distance. I had just recently got divorced, and needless to say, and some of you have heard this before, because I talk about, I'm a big firm believer that we should only bring up the past to show where God showed up and to example where God was there. If we're bringing up our past and God wasn't there, then that part should be dead. So here I was, and I was fighting with her. I mean, every time we talked on the phone, it just got into a big argument, and I would respond just as mean and vicious as she started out. And I just came to this point to where this cannot be beneficial for anybody, especially our daughter, especially my four-year-old, who's wanting to have a mom and dad come together on the simple basis that we at least love her. And so I just cried out to God. I said, I don't know how you're going to fix this. I need you to fix this. Whatever it takes. And I have this dream. And in this dream, I'm actually floating over my ex-wife and my daughter. And they're walking down a road, and I actually see danger in the road. And I say, hey, go to the left. And they go to the left, and they miss the danger. And it was just that scenario happened throughout the whole dream. And I was like, what the heck's going on? And my pastor at the time up there, and he goes, oh, that's simple. You have the authority to speak things as though they are. That's what I'm talking about as far as love, loving from a distance. When you're loving from a distance, you're literally speaking into your life, into their life, things that should be, things that God says they are. And the moment I heard this, I grabbed my guitar and I just started singing over her. I started singing over my ex-in-laws. I just started singing over them who God says they are. God says that they're His. God says that they're love, that they move in love, that their fruit is love. And when I started singing that, it wasn't a couple days later where she literally called up. And if you would know her at the time, this would never happen if God had not got a hold of her. And it's when we step back and actually speak His love into the situation that His love comes. God's never going to get in. If Charlie and I are like this, God's never going to get in the middle of it because it's my will against His will. Mm-hmm. And neither one of us cares about God's will at this point in time. But if I step back and start speaking love into His life, now it's aligned with God's will. And now He can get a hold of the situation. And so, and then the moment, a couple of days later, she actually calls and apologizes for her comments. And I'm like, whoa. Actually, my roommate comes home and we're giggling on the phone. And he thought I was talking to my girlfriend. Oh, is that Faith? And I was like, yeah. That's my ex. He goes, what? And I was like, I know, right?
Because
he heard the conversations. And he would actually come up and pray for me every time I would get done with a phone call with her. Like, oh, God, help me. You know, because it was just so tormenting of what we went through. But the moment God taught me that lesson, I used it in everything I did. When I dealt with people at work, okay, I am going to speak into their life and come behind the scene, and it literally would alter our relationship for the good and give me a place of purpose in their life to where they would come to me and it's like, hey, let's do something different. I don't want to do this with you anymore. And that by no means means I was condoning her actions. I was just loving her from a place not so close to where she couldn't see it, but God did. And when God sees it and they don't, God can move because we're out of the way. And that's to me, that's another key principle of walking in forgiveness. When you find yourself really walking in forgiveness, you're out of the way. When you feel the necessity to be justified, you're in the way, man. Darn right they need to apologize. You know, I went through that situation where when I came out of St. Augustine, one of the guys on my team, he called up and he's like, I need you to forgive me. I forgive you. And I was like, oh, this is awesome. When are you going to have the pastor call? And God's like, well, when are you going to call him? Yeah. And I was like,
he always turns that around.
And I was like,
yeah.
For what? He's like, he did ask you to forgive him. and you didn't. You can't deny it. And I was like, he didn't mean it. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what he meant. He asked the words. It's your response that matters. And he woke me up every morning for 3 weeks. 3 weeks he woke me up. Finally, I just couldn't stand it anymore. And I was like, fine. I'm going to call him up, but I don't want to talk to him. I want to talk to the voicemail. And so I called up. It went directly to voicemail. I was like, hallelujah. He's hearing me. And I just said, listen, the reason doesn't matter. When you asked for forgiveness, I didn't. But I want you to know I forgive you. And I love you. And this is not an attempt to build relationship. This is just something that God's on me.
I love you, but don't come around me.
Well, no, I didn't want him to think that, okay, this is a direct. I didn't want him to think
with
that,
a hook on it.
Well, I didn't want the condoning to happen, and you could call it a hook or whatever, but the big thing was and of course he called, and his response was, I'm glad to see you're finally walking in forgiveness. That's what he called and said. And I was like, and of course, I'm still new to this thing at this point in time. And it rises, and I was like, what? And he goes, oh, you're breaking up. I'll talk to you later. And then he hung up, and I was like, I know that was you, God. Because I would have destroyed everything that was just done. And so, I mean, from that day on, the Lord really started moving in me the importance of walking in forgiveness, regardless of what those do. And when my response is forgiveness, every time I'm accused, then there's no more accusers. Where are your accusers? Because I'm forgiven.
It's a good word. Good word. I actually had two subjects I was going to work on, and actually was love and unforgiveness. I worked on both of those yesterday, Friday and Saturday. I came up with something different, but so I think Kevin's kind of handled it, and I think this morning I'll add to it what God's doing. Good job.
Absolutely.
Well, I mean, part of what I'm going to do is about faith and warfare. But if you don't do it in love, it's not going to work.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Go ahead and pray over it, buddy.
So, Lord, we just thank you for this time. God, we thank you for the new revelation that you're pouring into us, God. We welcome the new, Lord. We just lay down our old to take on what you're doing, God. And we just thank you for your grace. We thank you for your love. And we thank you most of all that we are forgiven. In Jesus' name.
Thank you for tuning into today's message from Identity Church. To know more about us, go to identitychurch.net, where you'll find resources such as a calendar, media, and upcoming events. You can also download an app for your mobile device from the Apple App Store or Google Play. Then from your mobile device, you can hear our messages, read the Bible, take notes, connect with us on social media, and even pay your tithe. Again, thank you for tuning into Identity Sunday Morning Message, where sonship is revealed. Have a blessed day.